Welcome to Rowan College of Burlington County's Baroness Podcast. I'm Dr. Brooke Myatt, Program Chair and Assistant Professor of our Entertainment Technologies Department. I'm the co-chair of the Women's Advocacy Group, a subcommittee of the President's Advisory Council on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. This monthly series highlights women in leadership while encouraging listeners to build their skills, connect with the community, and visualize the opportunities available to women in various professions. Tune in for a female perspective on the Burlington County community. We are here to listen to these amazing women, and if you want to hear from women who lead and inspire, this podcast is for you. Welcome, everyone, to our April podcast. Hopefully good weather this month, and bringing good weather is lots of fun activities outside, sports, festivals, music events, park and rec stuff. And what more do we love than delicious food at all those things that we're being pulled and taken to and having to go during the week, during the weekends? And joining us today is Megan Hilbert, grew up in Pennsauken, New Jersey, graduated from Pennsauken High School in 2014. She went to Rowan U, was recruited to play NCAA Division III for the women's field hockey team there. She interned with the advertising department at HFM Lending, a small financial firm, graduated from Rowan, 2 degrees, a bachelor's in communication studies, a bachelor's in public relations, which completely fit in with what you're doing now, I think, and no one really probably told you that. But she is a passionate foodie like myself, I can certainly tell you that. And she just has a love of food, and she is the owner of Red's Rolling Restaurants 1 and 2, and now you have like 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, and I mean, every time I think I see you on the news or an Insta post or a Facebook post, we got something new and fresh and trendy and hip happening. You are where it's at. Young female, I mean, I can't even believe how old you are, so much younger than me, but like have established and created something beautiful. Megan, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is such a cool opportunity, and for you to be highlighting women like this, it's amazing. And I think it's gonna, you know, it's where we need to be headed as a you know, group.
Totally agree. So I got your bio, but I want you to tell everybody, like, how did you go from like communication studies to PR? Because I have students ask me all the time, like, I'm not really sure what I want to do, or I know what I want to do, and then they are scared to quickly like change a path and go after a passion or a career. Tell me, like, how did you get here in such a short span of time?
So I was never the type of person that knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. I had so many different things that I liked to do and that I was good at. And, you know, from art to singing to sports to school, I loved it all. So I didn't really know what I wanted to do. But I also didn't like being told that I couldn't do something either.
I think most of us would probably say that we would follow that too. But yeah, you're one that lives that mantra, I guess.
Well, it's funny because my dad owns a construction company and my brother would always get to go to work with him. And when I was little, I was like, well, I want to go to work with dad. Like, why can't I do that? And then someone was like, well, girls can't be construction workers. Like, you can't be a bricklayer if you're a girl. And I was like, that's not fair.
Yeah, that's
so then
not
I
fair.
Told my dad, and he brought me to work, and you know, I regretted it after that. But
yeah, right.
But you know, I just don't like being told no. But when I went to college because, you know, it's the thing to do.
Correct.
You know, it's not like my parents didn't go to college, so it's not like they were really pressuring me.
So
but
you're
like
a first gen college student, kind of that was kind of set in your inside your family, like you're going to college no matter what, you better find something to do. Like, we didn't get to go to college, or no,
they were kind of chill about it. They, because my dad, you know, he's a tradesman, so he didn't really, college was, my mom, she went to the Art Institute of Philadelphia, she didn't finish, but you know,
school, yeah,
she went there, so college wasn't really necessarily important to them. They just wanted us to be successful and happy with what we were doing.
Great.
So I decided to go because I was being recruited for field hockey, and just society is like pushes you in that direction, you know.
Sure.
So I looked at Rowan, and the coach was recruiting me, And during my senior year, I ended up tearing my ACL. So that the coach from Rowan personally like reached out to me and was like, listen, like I still want you to play for me. And being young, like sports was always on my mind. So I was like, you know what, I want to continue playing this sport I love. Rowan will take me. It's close to home. This is the campus for me. So that's pretty much how I decided to go there. But I went in undecided because, like I told you, I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Right. I wanted to be able to explore. You wore many hats, but you didn't know.
Yeah. So I wanted to be able to explore. And at the time, Rowan had this exploratory program that they offered. And it was, you could pick different classes from different, you know, you didn't have to be in one.
Right.
Because there's limits on what you can choose.
Different areas.
Yeah. So I picked a communications class, a psychology class, a PR class. And I liked psychology, but you have to do a lot of schooling in order to like, you know, more schooling after your bachelor's.
And you were like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
At the time.
I love school, but I just knew I didn't want to be in school forever, you know?
Yep.
So I chose communications at first and I loved it because of the conversations we had in the classroom.
Sure.
Like it opened up subjects that I feel people should be discussing more of. My favorite class was from Dr. Dan Strouser. It was called Communicating Gender. And it talked about, like, before the really big LGBTQ movement, I feel like that's been happening in recent years. Because I graduated 2018.
Okay.
And I took this class, I think, 2015. It just opened up a conversation about people that I think everyone should be required to take. Like, I felt like this class should have been a requirement to graduate.
Yeah.
Like, and the way the professor made the class, it was just an open setting. Everybody felt comfortable.
No judgment.
It was beautiful. So that's what really stemmed me to continue with the communication major. I also really love people. Like, I've always been in leadership roles. So I always found it interesting to figure out how I can better communicate with others. My field hockey coach, actually in high school, I remember I had an issue with this one teammate. I was captain and I was having issues with her because I didn't truly understand how to motivate her. Like I felt like everything I was saying to her, she was taking as like an insult when I was really just trying to like push her.
Right.
And I was
being
talking
supportive
to my coach.
And motivation, but it didn't come through that way.
No, and I was young.
She was
and
not picking up what you were putting down.
Exactly. I was like, I don't want to seem mean. Like, I don't want to dissuade her from playing, but I'm trying to motivate her and I'm talking to my coach about it. And she's like, you know, Meg, as a coach, like I face this, like you have to
all
understand that people like require different types of motivation or different ways.
Forms of communication, different ways to speak to them.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was interesting to me when she said that. And I figured out how to eventually talk to her. And, you know, I didn't necessarily agree with it. Like maybe like I felt like she was a little bit on the softer side or because I'm like tough. Like once you tell me something, I'm like, OK, good. I got it. Like, no, I don't hold it against you. But like some people aren't like that. So I had to learn that not everybody is you.
And that is so interesting now, probably coming into the business world as an entrepreneur and being your own boss and talking like, you know, we talked offline here about employees and how to handle different, you know, conversations with employees and vendors and clients and customer service. And now taking what you've learned there and then moving it into your business. So how did Red's Rolling Restaurant come about? Well, I know where the Reds are. The red came from, and I know this is not a visual, but we'll put visuals up. But I know where the Reds came from. So tell me, how did you get inspired to buy a food truck and not have any background in culinary and cooking and business? And it's
sound kind of crazy,
right?
When you put it,
it does. Maybe I'm just looking at it with 10 heads, but I mean, how did that come about for you?
So my mom owns food trucks. She's owned it since I was in, I think, middle school. She had a smaller one, and then she graduated to her bigger one, and then she had two by the time I was like graduating college. So I've always been around the industry.
Sure.
But my mom didn't have any culinary. We're Italian. My mom's Italian. Like, she could cook, but like she never went to school for it or anything like that. When she was in the art institute, she was going for like fashion.
Okay.
So
So we go from fashion to cooking, yeah. and you're from PR to food truck. I mean, yeah. hey, there's like a pattern here. It's all good.
Yeah, right.
Motivational women, empowering women, successful women, business entrepreneurs. I love it.
Yeah. My mom was always a hustler. Like, she was a stay-at-home mom after I have a twin sister. So she was a stay-at-home mom. And then my mom had my brother.
Sure.
Like 18 months later. So she basically had triplets. So she was a stay-at-home mom, yeah. but she always was hustling. Like, she ran a babysitting service out of our house. Mm-hmm. She served tables when she could. Like, my dad owns his own construction business. So the entrepreneurial spirit was always around me.
Yes. Yeah, so you always had that motivation of get out there, keep going for your dream, go for your passion, start up what you can, mm-hmm. do it, like go for it.
Mm-hmm. But it's also interesting because I have them to learn from as well. Like, their mistakes, make sure to not make them my mistakes, you know, and that's such an important gift that they gave me, to be honest. But I was also always in the food industry outside of college. Like,
sure.
You were hustling too. I had to pay rent. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I bartended all throughout college at a diner. And, you know, something that I realized about what bartending made me realize was I wanted to make as much money as I could in the least amount of time because I was super busy.
Sure.
Like, I was a D3 athlete.
You had to put yourself through school.
Yeah,
you needed spending money, yep. food,
all that.
Rent.
All that. And I try not to ask my parents for
transportation.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I, you know, I was busy, so I could only work on these certain days. So I wanted to make sure I could make the most amount of money I could at that time. So that's what the food industry was for me. And it was also fun. Like, I love connecting with people. I love food. So it didn't even feel like a job. Bartending was the perfect job for me in college. Like,
okay.
I made so many connections with people.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it was a diner, so I knew a lot of the locals from sure. Glassboro versus, like, I already go to the school, so I know a lot of the students and stuff like that. So it was a different type of environment. Like, I had my younger friends, you know, at home and on the weekends when I partied, but then when I went to work, I had my older friends, like, I'm talking like parent age friends, like,
sure.
that just would come into my bar and we got yeah. friendly. So it was a really, really nice experience. And I just loved how it freed my time up. Like, I was able to do other things and still make enough money to survive.
Sure.
So then that kind of ruined the 9-to-5 for me, in a sense.
You're like, I can't work 9-to-5 in an office with no window.
Yeah, exactly. And like, just having to be on a schedule, like, I'm not a morning person. It killed me to get up for 8 a.m. practices or 8 a.m. classes. Like, I'm not a morning person. Originally, I did, like, the only thing that I was, like, maybe going to do, had plans to do, was teach. Just okay. because my Pensauken High teachers and coaches had such a big impact in my life.
You wanted to give back in that way.
Yeah, yeah. And sure. I think it would be, like, it would still be amazing. But I just know, like, getting up early and being at one building. You know, my coach would come in for school at 7 a.m. because she was a teacher there, and then she wouldn't be getting home until, like, let's say 7 at night if we had an away game or something. So I was like, that lifestyle is different, and I don't think I necessarily want that right now. Maybe in sure. the future.
Sure.
But not right out of school. Not that wasn't my mindset, you know. So I ended up thinking, like, okay, what am I going to do with my life? Because it was getting closer to graduation, and I had that internship with the investment company, and my internship boss, she was amazing. Her name was Christine, and she was herself a very inspiring woman.
So having a female mentor really kicked you into the next level, it
yes.
sounds like.
And because she was real too, like, she wasn't the type of person to, like, I don't know, like, feed you a false narrative. You know, she was working in the Atlantic City casinos in the advertising sector before women were really even involved in that. Mm-hmm. You know, so she's been through her own struggles and really had to make a name for herself and things like that. And I was always telling her that I felt out of place in mm-hmm. a professional setting like that. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents were not the type to get a suit on and go to work. Mm-hmm. So I was never really exposed to that, like, professional office setting.
Right.
So I felt when I was in there during my internship, I felt fake. Like, I felt like I wasn't being myself. I wasn't allowed to be myself. Mm-hmm. And every time I feel like I would let my personality shine through a little bit, like, I felt like people were not necessarily judging me, but like, oh, you know, like it was weird feeling for sure. And I didn't like that you had a time limit to get things done, in the sense where like you only had 9 to 5 to do a project and you would have to leave after that and then start the next day. Like if I'm on a roll.
Yeah, you're on a roll. You're going to create, your creative juices are going and it's 4:59. You're like, oh, exactly. I've got so much more to dispute.
Or there would be the days where it was like, I had nothing to do and the sun's shining bright outside and I would rather be anywhere but in this office right now, you know?
Sure.
So it was a struggle. It was interesting. Like I liked getting the work done for her and I liked the creative side of the advertising, because it was interesting, different sectors, you're not allowed to say certain things in advertising. Like, you're not allowed to promise someone you're going to make them better in the medical field. Like, investing, you're not allowed to promise them you're going to make a certain amount of money.
Right.
So you had to come up with creative ways to
say
do your campaign.
Say what you're going to say, but don't really say it,
yes,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that was fun. And it was fun to watch her in her role there and be
that.
Creative. Yeah. So that was interesting, but I knew it wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do. So I'm still bartending at this point, getting ready to graduate. And I had regulars that would come into my bar that were opening up a Mexican restaurant on campus. It was called a Mexican Mariachi Grill and Tequila Bar. And Ricardo, he was the older gentleman that I pretty much ended up seeing him as like a grandfather figure after he hired me, but that's moving forward. But they used to come in and they would ask me for advice because they had other locations, but their locations were more like Chipotle style takeout. Like it wasn't a sit down restaurant and bar.
Okay.
So they were just asking me questions as a bartender, like, oh, like what would you do with like if in this scenario, or how would you stock the bar, or what do you need? Like, so
they were doing some reconnaissance from the bartender.
Yeah, exactly. And it was interesting because I was thinking one night after work when they were asking me so many questions, and I was like, this is interesting to me. Like, I love the restaurant world. I love people. I love branding. I'm like, what if, because my favorite class in advertising, my minor was ad copyright, where you would come up with the fun little slogans and all the campaigns and stuff.
Sure.
So I was like, what if I created my own like communication solution brand, like branding company, and then pitch it to this restaurant? So that was my original plan. Like I came up with the logo and everything. It was called.
You're like, hire me.
Yeah.
For your bar that I just like literally gave you the info for.
Yeah. So I was like, I think I made it MH Communication Solutions, I think was the brand name or my company name. And then I created like this whole PowerPoint because I had a meeting with them coming up to discuss more about helping them with their restaurant.
Sure.
So I was like, I'm just going to pitch this to them and see if they bite it. And like, they can be my first client. But I was in Glassboro for 4 years at that point. I partied there. I knew the locals that partied. Like I just knew the target audiences. I knew where the kids partied. So like Fridays.
Well, that is part of being right. Like having this business where what you're doing now, right. With the food trucks, like knowing your clients, knowing the industry, knowing the socioeconomic, like, you know, of the area, knowing what foods are going to work where, what, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
it definitely matters.
That matters. So all of these things that are leading up to what you're doing now, all these little, like I say, you wear many hats, like all these little openings to almost like, Did you see the movie Slumdog Millionaire?
Yes.
It's like you had all these avenues of these random accounts that have all led you to what you're doing today that have all kind of been an input into that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I don't really stop and reflect that often because I'm always like the type of like move forward type of person. But you're right. Like it's all coming together in a sense. But I was I pitched it to them and I was like, you know, the students that are 21 plus have nothing to do on Friday nights because none of the other local bars were offering like something fun, you know?
Right. You should
so I was like,
fun.
We could do a Fiesta Friday. Like, let's do that. And, you know, after I pitched all this to them, they actually decided to hire me as a general manager and a nice salary. And I was like, look, I need a job. I'm about to graduate. Like, I can, if I want to do this company down the road, I can, but they're offering me this good salary
and
now.
This is in your wheelhouse, so it's like
exactly.
Let's take it. Let's roll. Let's roll the dice and go.
That's pretty much every other position in the restaurant industry thus far, and general manager would have been the first for me. So I was like, okay, I was 22 years old. You know, I had just got an apartment in Collingswood, So I was like, okay, let's do this. So I started to work for them. And I think I honestly only stayed with them for 4 months. And then I realized it's not for me. I have my grandma to thank for that. Like, she always told me, if you're not happy with what you do for work, you need to get out, because you're going to be doing that every single day of your life.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect your mental health if you don't like what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it did for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not the type of person to like get bothered easily, but you know, my only day off was Sunday. They didn't let me hire other people to delegate other tasks to. So I was doing everything.
It was me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even my business. And I was like, I can literally do this for myself. And I was just getting like disrespected left and right for being a young woman. Sure. Like, even if it was unconsciously.
In that role.
Like, they tried to belittle my role. Like, some people would come in like vendors or like,
like, wait, you're the manager?
Yeah, literally, just like that. And I'm like, yeah, it's me. Hello. You know, and
they're like, what are you doing here?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, looking for a man, you know, it that still happens today when I have the trucks and I'm on the trucks and whatnot. But it's just, I was getting frustrated because I'm like, this just isn't the life I want to live either. You know, it's going back to me not being happy at the internship. I'm like, this is basically a 9-to-5. Like, I like saw my bartenders. I was paying them out the money.
And at
I was
least
like,
you knew that these weren't these avenues for you. Many young, you know, leaders and entrepreneurs and people like you, you know, they wouldn't have the guts, you know, to say, yeah, this isn't for me, but I still need to pay my bills. I need to figure out another way. Like, you stood up and said, this is not for me. Like, we need to find a solution. I need to be happy. I need to follow my passion. I need to follow my dream. What's next? So we move on from the we're not happy at the restaurant. How do you come about the truck?
So I started bartending in Haddon Township at Keg and Kitchen just to pay the bills.
Sure.
And my mom had her second truck I was telling you about that she just bought. Mm-hmm. She wanted to do a Mary's Mobile Diner too, but after my experience working at the Mexican Grill, I was like, I'm still not trying to work for anybody, even if it is my mom, like, especially my mom, me and her,
especially
we will clash.
Family. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was like, what if I bought the truck off of you and paid you back for it and then make it my own and just
figure out
it.
Yeah. Rebrand, which you were the branding copyright figuring out queen, right?
Yes.
From before. So there you go.
So I was like, and she said yes, which I was thankful for her to do.
Great.
You know,
supportive.
She didn't have to say yes. She wanted to do a second truck for herself, you know, but she gave me the opportunity. So I decided that I wanted the truck to be, I feel like, more on the classier side than you usually see food trucks. You know, like, I wanted it to be more of a Panera Bread style truck, you know, because I wanted to be able to
gourmet.
Like, I wanted to be able to be invited to people's weddings. Like, I wanted it to look good in pictures, look classy, like, look elegant, you know, corporate people I wanted to hire me, stuff like that. And my menu, I didn't have anything else but a flat top on my first truck. So I didn't have a fryer or anything like that. So it was a tiny truck. Like, I don't even think it's, I think it's like 15 feet. So I was limited in regards to what I could cook because of my utensils.
Sure.
So I decided to come up with a menu of sandwiches, salads, and nachos. And the cool thing about my truck from the beginning is my menu was always like 20 plus items. And you don't see that at food trucks often. I had a kids menu too.
That's
so
a lot.
It's a lot.
For a small truck to have that many varieties of things. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just kept the bases the same, like the chicken, steak, and pork, and then would buy different sauces. So like my inventory wasn't huge. I was just building on
you're
the same
repurposing
stuff.
Repurposing and being creative and,
yeah,
you know.
So it ends up working
branding
out.
Different things.
The
to
food.
Different, yeah, the, and branding the foods in different ways. Yeah.
So, and then I marketed it as like a healthier food truck, you know,
yeah,
because there's so many.
There's
you
no
think
grease.
Food truck, you think grease. Exactly.
Yeah.
And mine wasn't like that. So it ended up really taking off because I do a lot of like good luncheons. Like a lot of teachers like my food. A lot of big corporate places will.
Yeah,
like my
healthier
food.
Options.
Yeah. So that was how I came up with and how I started to get into the food truck business. And then I I think I had my first truck for about a year or two, and I paid my mom off for it. And then I just started to save money. But there was a lot of hiccups on the road. Like, nobody, I didn't go to school for business.
Well, right. So you have to learn along the way.
A lot.
Yeah.
Like, stuff that I feel like they should teach people way soon. Like,
life high university.
School, yes. Or high school does financial literacy now.
Yeah.
It is like a course that they're required to take. And when we were in high school, I think they just started it. So they really didn't know what to teach us yet. But I was like, I didn't know what sales tax was. Like, I didn't know I had to pay the government sales tax.
Yeah. Well, no one teaches you that.
Yeah. And my account's like, Meg, you owe $3,000 to the government. And I'm like, for what?
I know. Nobody tells you about bank accounts, mortgages, health insurance, life insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, what?
And as an entrepreneur, like, you have to get all that yourself, too. Yeah, insurance, health insurance.
So it's, right. So permits.
Permits, fire permits.
Yep.
Health department.
Board of Health. I was just going to say. Yeah. So you're kind of basically thrown into this, learning as you go. You're a young woman. You have no background in the food business, but advertising communications, perfect. Bartender, but I mean, you had food business, but not owning. Like,
yeah.
So you're in charge of ordering and coming up with the menu and customer service, like everything, the full gamut.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something you're almost learning along the way of being the restaurant owner and not just being the employee.
Everything.
And not having everything else.
And there was like times where, when I first started out, the food truck wasn't busy enough for me to just rely on that. So I was still bartending and doing the truck. And, I would bartend.
So you are a hustler.
I am a hustler. There would be days that I would come home so tired and like I would just be a crumb in my bed. I would just not be able to have enough energy to shower from the day and just go to sleep and wake up and have to go to the bank before this shift. And if somehow there was another shift, I would pick it up because I'm like, I need the money. I need to get this paid off. And, it wasn't for the week. And my first truck had a lot of mechanical issues that we didn't know about because when my mom bought it, it was from someone who just sat in Philly with it. They didn't drive it anywhere. So once I started to drive it.
You're driving it everywhere. Oh, so then goodness. You got a second truck. Then you got a third truck, right?
Yes.
And so are they all branded your Healthy Reds Rolling restaurant? And now, very exciting, you're coming up, you're branding again, you're rebranding. What do you have now?
It is a smoothie and acai bowl truck.
Ooh.
It is.
Another
healthy truck. It's called Fruitful.
What made you pick that type of food? What was your draw to that? Did you do some reconnaissance work?
So that's what the truck originally was from the owners that were selling it.
Okay.
So it's already set up for that.
Okay.
I love fresh fruit. I eat healthy.
Yeah.
And especially like, and there's pliables everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's a good healthy option when you're saying everybody's thinking fryer and grease. You're going to be there with that healthy option.
Yeah.
And that's a really great
thing. And cold option in the summertime. And we're going to do fruit pops and stuff like that. But my two other trucks have fryers in it. Mm-hmm. So I did graduate to getting fryers. But who says no to fries?
Yeah, who says no to fries? Gotta love a good fry.
You got to try our truffle parm fry. It's really good.
Oh, sounds
it's really
delicious.
Good. And chicken tenders. Kids love chicken tenders.
I know I have two of them and that's like the go-to.
Yeah.
I understand.
So I'm like, all right. So we don't do a lot of fried food. It's definitely limited to like fries and tenders and churros, but we still have the full menu on the other three.
So what would you tell, and I say this, you're still so young. What would you tell other young female entrepreneurs what to do? They may want to start out in a business or do something and they're not so sure. What's something that you can share with them, a tip, a trick, something that maybe you wish somebody would have told you?
I would say that, one, you can't be afraid of hard work. You can't. Like I said, I was pulling doubles, triples, the days I didn't want to get up or my truck broke down and I was so frustrated I wanted to give up. I didn't because I'm like, I've already put in all this work. I already sacrifice so much, like what's the point of giving up now? Like what is that going to do for me? And another thing would be to have a plan, but don't be upset if the plan doesn't work out. Because life happens. And when I tell you life happens, if I've learned anything from the food truck business, anything can happen. Anything can go wrong. And you need to be able to just buckle down and solve it and solve the problem. You need to be a very good problem solver in order to be an entrepreneur. And you can't let it get you down. You know, I used to cry about things when it would get rough, but now I'm just like, why? Yeah,
keep on trucking.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. And another thing I would say is to just know who you are. You know, not everybody's meant to be an entrepreneur. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There is no, you're not more noble or less noble for working for somebody or being an entrepreneur. But I think it's important to work for somebody because then you know how you can work for yourself and you know the type of people you want to hire. Like, I think it's important to have all those different experiences because if you don't, you don't have any knowledge in it, you know, and don't act like you know it all. I think that's important too, because a lot of people, you know, they won't take advice from somebody because they think, oh, well, they're not where I want to be, so why would I take advice from them? Well, maybe they'll tell you something that somebody that is where they didn't even know. Like, I just feel like you can't judge people based on where they are in life because they've all also had their own struggles. So they might be able to tell you something that you would never even know on your own because your struggle is different than theirs.
Totally agree.
You know, it's interesting because I feel like my hardest thing right now as an entrepreneur and as a new employer, because yeah, I've had people that worked for me, but most of the time they were my friends or they were my family members or people that I know and I'm cool, like really close with. So this is the first year that I had to deal with outside people, like fresh hires. They don't know me. They went to my help wanted ad and they're like, hey, I want to, you know, work for you.
Yeah.
So that has been difficult in a sense because it's just so hard to manage people.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are difficult. Like people are difficult. People have their opinions. Mm-hmm. People have their needs, their mm-hmm. wants, their, and I'm a very like empathetic person. So sometimes it's hard for me to build that separation between I care
boss
for these people.
And employee.
Yes. Yes. Like I have to do what's best for my business sometimes. And sometimes that might mean something different for the employees, but I mean, it is what it is. And I just have to understand that it's just hard to do that, you know, especially being young and I want to help everybody. So,
oh yeah, no, you want to love, support, warm hugs and everything, but there's that fine line and it's really hard to learn that. Mm-hmm. And you only learn that, like you're saying, in the field and working in the industry and keeping doing what you're doing.
But it also makes me reflect on the jobs that I did have when I was younger. And there might've been that manager or that boss that I didn't like, but I know why now.
You're like, it's coming full circle.
Yeah, literally.
I totally understand that. So I'm going to read off some of the words that we've talked about. And I'm going to read them as the summary of hashtags, mottos, and fun things that we said throughout our talk. And then I'm going to ask you what your personal hashtag is.
Okay,
so here we go. Hashtag explore, hashtag no judgment, hashtag love people, leadership, communicate with others, learn from mistakes, give back, not an early person, allow to be yourself. If you're not happy, get out. Opportunity, can't be afraid of hard work, have a plan, life happens, know who you are. What am I going to do with my life? What's your go-to everyday mantra you think hashtag that keeps you going?
I think it would be hashtag define yourself. That's it. Hashtag define yourself because I think that pretty much covers like, who do you want to be? You know, you wake up every morning, define yourself. Do you want to get up and get your paperwork done, or do you want to get distracted and do something else? Do you want to get up and, you know, feel sorry for yourself because you're not where you want to be in life? Or do you want to get up and work towards a goal today that maybe, you know, you didn't think was possible? You know, like define yourself, figure out, like when someone says your name, what do they want? What do you want them to think of? What, like you said, the word you just read off the paper. I hope people think about me when they hear my name. You know, I think defining yourself is important.
Well, let me tell you, you are a fabulous young woman. I mean, I can't wait to see where you go next. I can't wait to try some truffle, Parmesan truffle fries, but I want an acai bowl as well. But, you know, it's the good with the bad, right?
Yeah, exactly. Balance.
It's a good balance. That's another hashtag. But I thank you for joining us. Why don't you tell everybody where they can follow you if they want to come and visit your trucks and see some of your awesome like menu items, and where can they find you to go hunt you down?
I usually post a weekly schedule on Instagram, which is at RedsRR2022. I also have a website that you can look for my email and stuff and just shoot me an email. I have a Facebook page as well. The weekly schedule is posted on there. It's called Red's Rolling Restaurant 1-2. I didn't put 3 on there yet, so just 1 and 2.
That's all right.
We'll find you. My Fruitful Instagram, it's different. It's at Fruitful Truck, and the Instagram page is Fruitful Smoothies and Acai Bowls.
So exciting. I can't wait to see what's next. I'm going to come and visit you and have some yummy samples of some deliciousness. So I appreciate you coming and sharing your story with us today, Megan.
Thank you for having me. This is wonderful.
Take care. Thanks.
You've been listening to the RCBC Baroness Podcast, which highlights women in leadership while encouraging listeners to build their skills, connect with the community, and visualize the opportunities available to women in various professions.
For more information about this podcast or other podcasts available on the RCBC Podcast Network, visit rcbc.edu/podcast.
And be sure to subscribe to the RCBC Baroness Podcast, available on all streaming platforms.